Etsy, mighty, mama, mimi, mighty, daddy. Figgy, me, a cutter, daddy, mama, me, pensaccia, tu. Sitte, donna, biscia, olo, ite, va, ite, viene, sempre, baccalare, del mani, rene. Se ci picchia, bandi, se, baccalare, figgy, me. Oh, mamma.
In these bacala days, and the hotter it gets, boy, one of that bacala is going to smell like bad bacala. And it's heating up. We've never seen anything like this before. It's just so sad what's happened to this country. So sad. Long downward spiral. And again, to me, Trump being in, I'm happy he's there. Only because, not I'm happy that it's him, but he's showing what a fraud the whole thing really is. And of course, you know, all the news coming out about how the prostitute media, particularly the cartoon news network, CNN, is pushing the anti-Trump stories because it's building ratings. And I'm not making that up. You know that. Stories come out. Project Veritas quoted that guy who works for CNN. I mean, the quotes are right there for everybody to read. CNN producer admits Russian narrative is bull SH-T for the ratings. Senior producer at CNN has described the intense speculation that Russia aided the Trump presidential campaign as BS. Filmed on a hidden camera, CNN producer John Bonifield admits the organization's anti-Russian reporting is purely for ratings. It's mostly BS right now, like we don't have any big giant proof. He's secretly filmed saying. Yep. It's right there for everybody to see and hear. Project Veritas. So why is CNN constantly like Russia this, Russia that? The journalist asks, to which Bonifield responds, because it's ratings. I would say CIA is doing the same SHI-T all the time. We're out there trying to manipulate governments, Bonifield says. Yeah, no kidding. Isn't that the truth? Look how many governments America has overthrown. Look how many elections has interfered with. And the hypocrisy. That's what this nation is, the nation of hypocrites. From the right to the left, into the center. Liars, cowards, freaks, and fools. Hypocrites. It's like the hypocrite liberals don't want to admit what a murderer their Obama is, or was. He doesn't have his hand on that drone strike anymore. They killed over 4,000 innocent people. Quote, I'm really good at killing people. The Obama that destroyed Libya, most prosperous nation in Africa, by supporting those moderate rebels. Yep. Try Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra. Obama. Assad has to go. 500,000 dead in Syria. 5,000 refugees. 5 million refugees. 6 million displaced. But the little low-life liberals or hypocrites just on the other end of the famous murderers on the other end, the Bushes, the Cheneys, and all those people that let's support our troops to go into other country and kill other people so we can wipe out them ISISs without ever saying how was these radical groups formed, because you slaughtered all those people in those countries and destroyed them. Hypocrisy, the name of the American game, and the prostitute media with CNN, Fox, ABC, CBS. It's one big FU. That's all it is. Quote, I think the president is probably right to say, like, look, you are witch hunting me, Bonifield admits. Our ratings are incredible right now, he said. It's a business. People are like the media. People are like the media has an ethical all the nice, cutesy little ethics that they used to talk about in journalism school. You just like, that's adorable. That's adorable. This is a business. Of course, this is reported on Russia Today, which I'm on frequently. The American prostitute media doesn't have me on. They used to. Yeah, here's the list. These are kind of things that people used to say about me. Gerald Celente has the knack for getting the right zeitgeist right, USA Today. Gerald Celente, publisher of New York-based Trends Journal, is one of the most accurate forecasters around. Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Mr. Celente is a very intelligent guy. We're able to learn about trends from an authority, 48 hours, CBS. Those who take their predictions seriously might consider the Trends Research Institute, the Wall Street Journal, the Standard & Poor's of popular culture, the Los Angeles Times. One after another. I used to be on the Today Show, Oprah Winfrey, Good Morning America, CBS This Morning, NBC Nightly News, CBS Evening News, ABC World News, Not Tonight, CBS 48 Hours, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, PBS, BBC, NPR, Canadian Broadcasting System, on and on and on. I've been there. Know what it looks like? Again, the facts are there. Now, here's one for the Gary Null listeners. Gerald Celente has christened the clean food diet something beyond organic, a new standard for health and reliability, to New York Times, 1993. And now look what the media's become. Prostitutes, media whores, men and women that put out for their Washington whoremasters and corporate johns. And the CNN producer admits it. And then you look at the propaganda. We had that another nothing of a man, political appointee, J.A. Johnson under Obama. Our homeland security, homeland security. What a wasted energy that is. Stealing our money to spy on us and feel us up at the airport. So he gives this, just going back a couple of weeks, a week or so ago. To my current knowledge, the Russian government did not, through any cyber intrusion, alter ballots, ballot counts, or reporting of election results. I know of no evidence that through cyber intrusions, votes were altered or suppressed in any way. But then he goes on to say that Vladimir Putin's orders, quote, orchestrated cyber attacks on our nation for the purpose of influencing the election. How could he get away with this? The way he could get away with it is the country has turned immoral, and all you little boys and girls out there, your Stephanopholises, your meet the prostitutes, Chucky boy Todd, not a man among you, little Megyn Kelly, when she interviews Putin, what a low-life job she did. Compare that to what Oliver Stone did. Not even close. You're a bunch of low-life cowards, and that's what this country's turned into. A country of cowards. Afraid to call a spade a spade. Look up to your authorities. Don't forget to salute. And after you salute, you could bow down. Because that's all you've been doing, America. Want proof? OccupyPeace.us. You know the ones that supported us. Gary Null, Dr. Robert Thurman, Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan. But where was the American public? Where was the media absent? The only peace plan with a real plan, rather than going out, let's march, let's go to Washington. Go to Washington for a day. We'll all chant. Don't forget to wear your pink pussy hats. And then don't do anything afterwards. America, the country of cowards. Jay Johnson. Yep. See, you got it. And they're hooked. And now that they're talking about war, they're heating it up with Syria. The Syrian march to war keeps growing louder and louder. U.S. sends civilians to stabilize recaptured Syrian areas. Yep, civilians. Can you imagine us sending more money there? But I have to hand it to that guy, Macron, the new president of France. He had the courage to come out and say, my line is clear. One, a total fight against terrorist groups. They are our enemies. We need the cooperation of everyone to eradicate them. Yeah, okay. Number two, stability in Syria because I don't want a failed state. He wants a diplomatic and political solution. And has come out against foreign intervention because of what it did to Libya. And, of course, that was led by another piece of low-life crap of a human being, Sarkozy of France, who was the big pusher of that. And you could go online and you could look up the emails from Hillary Clinton about how Sarkozy wanted the oil and the gold. That's not talked about much. That came out. They released those on New Year's Eve when nobody was looking and listening. Yep. And then the White House just came out again and warned that Syria is ready to launch another chemical attack. Seymour Hersh just did a very involved report proving as closely as possible that Syria never launched a chemical attack. MIT professor, and we had it all detailed in our Trends Journal Trend Alerts, showing what a fraud it was that they never did it. And now the White House keeps pushing for more and more war, and as well Israel is attacking Syria because they're saying that they're infringing on the Golan Heights. Oh, yeah, the Golan Heights. You don't own that, Israel. I know. God was a real estate agent. The Bible was a land deed. And the whole world began 4,000 years ago. Yep. Israel strikes Syrian military near Golan Heights. And the United States is attacking them as well. and they're going to be attacking the Iranians who are fighting in Syria, brought there by Assad, who was elected by the people in a democratically elected government by overseen by international monitors, which is very different than the United States, a foreign nation, in a sovereign nation that's done nothing to them. Syrian state-run news agency Sana'a reported several people were killed in Israeli strikes. White House wants to widen Syria war. One piece of information after another. Yep, facts are all here. And again, going to back to Macron of France. Macron said that he doesn't want to remove Assad. I mean, that's... You said the real update I have done on this subject, when asked about Syria, is that I have not announced that the removal of Bashar al-Assad is a precondition for everything, because no one has showed me a legitimate successor. Now, this was on the bottom page by a little story in the Wall Street Journal a few days ago. Yep. So there you got it. More war drums beating. Syria, Syria, Syria. White House, Syria's Assad appears to be planning another chemical attack. As we have stated previously, the United States is in Syria to eliminate the Islamic State and the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. As we have previously stated, the United States is in Syria to eliminate the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. If, however, Mr. Assad conducts another mass murder attack using chemical weapons, he and his military will pay a heavy price. White House statement. Yep. And again, no proof at all that Syria ever used chemical weapons, just like no proof that Russia hacked the DNC. But you say the line long enough, people believe it. All they do is shoot out the BS, and the people repeat it like parrots. Papagallo. As my father used to say to me, anytime I repeat what everyone else is saying, papagallo, parrot. He said, stop repeating what everybody else is saying and think for yourself. Trump's Red Line is by Seymour Hersh. On April 6, United States President Donald Trump authorized an early morning Tomahawk missile strike in central Syria, retaliation for what he said was a deadly nerve agent attack carried out by Syrian government 2 days earlier in a rebel-held town. Trump issued the order despite having been warned by U.S. intelligence community that it had found no evidence that the Syrians had used a chemical weapon. You could find this at welt.de. politic. And who are the responders that said this? The White Helmets, which are known to be close association with the Syrian opposition. Very, very detailed story about, doesn't make it in American media. The one news story, American media, from one stupid story to another. The dumbing down of America from the top down. Yep. You know, when American ships are threatened by Iranian little speedboats, they make a big deal of it. But when NATO jets confront a plane carrying the Russian foreign minister, NATO fighter jets, over neutral airspace over the Baltic Sea, that story barely makes the news. And the reason the jets left is because then Russian jets came by to chase them off. If it was the other way around, can you imagine if our Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis, was in a U.S. plane and Russian jets came within wingspan of it? Oh, let's start a war with Russia. I was out the other night and just could not help overhearing the loud table near me. And one guy said, look at that fellow Flynn, who sold out to the Russians. And I thought to myself, what a jerk. Guy knows nothing. Just repeating the lines. And that's all everyone does. They repeat the cheap lines. If you want the real trend shaping the future, if you want to read history before it happens and stay on top of the news and ahead of the trends, the only place I know is the Trends Journal to bring you history before it happens. And if you want a subscription, I suggest you go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com, and you could call 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500, and it's only $99 a year. Is that about a quarter a day? And if you're having a tough time, like so many people are, we have a discount request page. Just, you know, we want to make it available to everyone. We'll do the best we can to help you. Because it's the only place, the only magazine that will help you see the future coming, prepare for it, seize the opportunities, and avoid the dangers. And the danger that we see coming is war. You could see what happened going back to Syria with the Arab nations demanding that Qatar do what they tell them to do, including closing down a Turkish military base, breaking ties with Iran. And that's the big one, by the way. Breaking ties with Iran. That's where we see the big issue coming. The Saudis, the Wahhabis, a radical religious group, is behind much of the mass murder in Libya, Syria, and now, of course, in Yemen that doesn't make the news. And again, Israel keeps building more settlements, just announced a whole new range, one of the biggest ones yet, stealing land against international law. Could you imagine if Iran broke international law? Bombs away over Iran. And I don't want to hear this anti-Semite crap. Save it for somebody else. First of all, the Ashkenazis that are running Israel, Netanyahu to Golda Meir to Ben-Gurion to Sharon. The Ashkenazis, they're Eastern Europeans. They're not Semites, so you can't call them anti-Semites. Just know a bunch of low-life politicians. So the oldest fossil fuel of Homo sapiens was found in Morocco, right? Roughly about 300,000 years ago. And I got to swallow this line? I got to forget about the last 296,000 years ago? And God gave me that, gave you that land? If an evangelical Christian, if a Muslim said that, I say you're full of crap. But hey, the Israelis say it, and I say you're full of crap, then I'm an anti-Semite. Say it to the other ones. So save it, Jack, for somebody else. And for the record, before this one, my last three girlfriends were Jewish. So I'm not an anti-Semite. I got a load of Jewish friends, and they know it. And they're against what's going on, too. Every one of my friends. What's going on in Israel. And I'm mentioning this because that is where the future is going. That is why we're talking about a war with Iran and detailing it that no one else is doing and putting the pieces together. All things are connected, like the blood which unites us all, Goethe said. So let's make the connection. How about those oil prices, huh? Saudi Arabia needs oil at $100 a barrel for its budget to break even. It's gotten as low as 45 in the last few days. It's up to $47 a barrel. All of these oil-rich nations, I shouldn't say all of them, many of them, are going into their reserves and drawing them down because they need the dough. When all else fails, they take you to war. Get your mind off the problems really quick. Hey, remember 9/11? 9/11. 9/11. Oh, yeah. 2001. What happened in 2001? That was only several months after the crash of the dot-com in March of 2000. In March of 2000, several months later, remember, so much was wiped out of the market. I think it took about 13 years, 14 years for the NASDAQ to recover from where it was when it crashed. But boy, people's minds just went to war. And that's what they're doing now in the Middle East. And people's minds will go to war, just like they did in America, the war against Afghanistan. We forgot about the terrible times that were going on as the economy was going into recession. Following the dot-com bust. And that was a big bust, boy. Whew. When all else fails, they take you to war. and war is on the horizon. And this will be the war that ends all wars and a good part of civilization if it's not stopped. But no one's talking about it. Very few, I should say. I don't know what everybody's saying. But none of the media that we see are putting it together the way we are. Yep. So, there's two worlds out there. Three. The political world, the media world, and the real world. You know what you get from the political world, and you know what you get from the media world. BS. The Trends Journal is the real world, as is Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank all of you for calling in and tuning in to Progressive Radio Network. So do we have any callers there? I'm not sure, but I didn't give out the number. 888-874-4888. Yep, seems like there's a problem with our audio on this end, so I can't hear the callers, so we're going to have to call it a day. Having a little bit of technical difficulties. We have some callers on the line, but oh, here we go.
Hi,
hello.
Jerry. Yes.
Hey there, John from Englewood.
Hey, how are you, Jerry?
Good.
I'm an ardent admirer. You know, I have often been called anti-Semitic. And my response to that is I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-criminal. And it seems to me that a lot of criminals today happen to be Jewish. So I don't know what to say other than that.
Well, it's not that. It's everybody. Look at criminals. Again, let's pick the nation. Look what the Saudis are doing. Look what the Americans are doing. And so many of them are Protestant. I mean, Protestant, Muslim, Greenberg, iceberg, men, women, doesn't make a difference. Good and bad comes in all of them. No one race, creed, or color has a monopoly on them. And that's the, that to me is equality. But what Israel is doing as a nation is as criminal as the Americans are doing as a nation.
Absolutely.
In so many different ways.
Absolutely. I'm not, you know, I can only deal with one criminal at a time. You know what I mean? And when I'm talking about somebody who, a group of people, and right away they try to shut me down by putting me into a corner, you know, I have to respond somehow and say that it's not the fact that you're Jewish, it's the fact that it's criminals. There are certainly criminal elements in every group. I know
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Again, look at the facts. Every time Israel breaks international law, they'll have one line in there, it's against international law in the reporting. But nobody,
mm-hmm.
but they get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when another country breaks international law, it's bombs away by the USA. So that's the hypocrisy. But the whole nation's turned into a hypocritical nation, as I said, on both sides, all around, up and down, inside out, from right to left, right down the middle. The truth doesn't count anymore. Only belief systems do. And that's a big part of the New Trends Journal, by the way. We talk about how friends can't be friends, families fight with family. Don't talk about the facts. Well, I have my belief system. That's all that counts. The facts don't count anymore.
Well,
and that's
Nicholson
why you see this
said,
great
Jack
fight
Nicholson
going on
said
in America.
You can't handle the truth.
No.
Yeah, and it does. I've been a pariah now for years because I refuse to let 9/11 go. I can't allow it to go without expressing my opinion about 9/11 and exactly what I think happened. Like you said, we live in a country of cowards, people who are afraid to say, you know, people, they're not going to like me. Well, guess what? I don't really care. If you're the type of person that isn't going to like me, that's fine. I don't like you either. You know, we're in dire straits here. It's just hard to imagine that we've fallen so far. This is the most hypocritical country on the planet. No one can beat us at that. That's why I like listening to you, because you tell it like it is.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, John. You know, what John was saying is it's so true, and that the people won't stand up and honor what they believe in based on facts. They believe in it based on a belief system. You know, and that's your belief system. But that's not a factual data. Can we only talk about the data, the hard numbers? But nobody wants to. And it's very sad, because it's stopping the progress of this country. And the progress is in reverse. I want to spend just a moment before I take other callers, that I just want to go back to, you know, a couple of things we're talking about here in the Trends Journal and beyond politics. And the economy, one of them. We're looking now at the stock markets continue to hit new highs. As we speak now, the Dow is up 150 points. There's nothing to support that. Corporate profits are good. They're not great. The rally was really based upon, which is now going into, by the way, 8 months. July 8th, it'll be 8 months since Trump got in. Won the election. It was November. So December, January, February, March, April, May, June. July. It went up on the belief of tax cuts, infrastructure rebuilding, and deregulation. Again, not whether you like these things or dislike them, because obviously a lot aren't beneficial to we the people. But that's the reason why the markets went up. None of those things have happened. Yes, corporate profits are strong, but now you're just seeing a report coming out by the IMF, the International Mafia Federation, International Monetary Fund, downgrading U.S. growth. Trump was promising over 3%, then it came to 2.4. Now it's about 2.1% GDP growth. That's Obama growth, which is really no growth at all. This is very important if you're looking at economics, because they're raising interest rates based on economic growth and inflation. Inflation is soft. You look at the gas prices. Again, supply and demand issue. But it's not only in gas prices, it's in retail prices. It's in food prices. Prices aren't going up. They're going down in a lot of areas. There's too much supply, not enough demand. One of the reasons why there's no demand, or demand is down, flat, is because people aren't earning more money. Wages, essentially, for Americans, have been flat wage increases. I mean, those are just facts. So, when you don't have wage increases, and of course, there is inflation at some levels. You have more product than people can afford to buy. The facts are there. So what we're looking at, the stock market, as I said, there's the political world, the media world, and the real world. In the real world, this is a whole different trip going on. And that trip is people have no money. The money's not coming in. Again, the facts are there. What I'm mentioning this for is we're going to see a stock market correction, at least 10%, but it may be much worse than that. Because if a wild card is played, and there's no wilder card than the Trump cards, you're going to start seeing these markets really devolve quickly. That doesn't mean we'll go into a depression, however, because a lot of Americans aren't in the markets. And that makes a big difference. Because when the crash happened the last time, it was the subprime housing crash. This time, the only subprime we have is the auto market. That's in trouble, but that's a very small percentage compared to the housing market. When adjusted for inflation, U.S. workers' wages have been stagnant for 50 years. We have a two-tier society. Go back to the stock market. CEO compensation. Remember, our wages have been flat for 50 years when adjusted for inflation. Not the CEOs. They're up nearly 1,000%. Well, that's over the last 40 years. When I was a young guy going into the workforce out of college, the gap between a CEO pay and the average worker was 350-1. Excuse me, 40-1 back then. Today it's 350-1. Going back to the stock markets, this is unsustainable. One of the reasons the markets went up today is they announced in Europe they're still keeping that quantitative easing going, buying up that bonds and keeping those interest rates near zero and below so that the Ponzi schemes could continue. Low interest rates are a war against we the people that used to put our money in the bank and get interest on it. Remember those things called CDs? Yep. All gone, no more. So, watch your oil prices closely. Watch closely what's going on in the Middle East. When all else fails, they take you to war. We got a call on there from David from Brooklyn.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your program very much. It's one of the best programs on the air. And I want to celebrate your courage because of the way you speak, and you don't seem to be cowed into lying and not saying what has to be said. I want to ask you a question. In 1947, when the United Nations General Assembly made that recommendation to partition Palestine and turn part of it over to the Zionists from Eastern Europe, and I'm just thinking, on what basis did the United Nations have of taking a colonial territory, which Palestine was under the British at the time, and before that the Turks, and turning it over to some other group in Europe, just doing that? I mean, is there some law that allows the United Nations to do that? It reminds me of what happened with Rhodesia when the British just turned that over to Ian Smith, white minority government. Well, it seems like they were doing the same with Palestine, and I thought that people were supposed to have self-determination and whatnot. I don't know if they had any election among the Palestinians about what kind of governors they wanted. And, you know, just turning it over to some European group in at the end of the Second World War. And I just wonder if that was really a legal thing to do, and why they got away with it, or just they were able to just bully the major imperial powers, just bully these small countries to vote for such a thing in the General Assembly. I'm just wondering.
Well, go back. You mentioned about it, the colonial powers, Britain being one of them, Britain, France, and that's what those wars are about, colonialism. And it's no different now with America going in. They want the oil of Libya and Iraq. And think about it also. I mentioned Saudi Arabia and oil prices. By getting rid of Libya, that's one of their big competitors.
Yes.
Libya, you're pulling oil out of the ground for like $1 a barrel.
Yes.
The finest sweet crude. So they knock out competitors. And go back now to the UK, Britain, and Palestine. Go back to the Balfour Agreement back in the 20s. And again,
but the Balfour Agreement, what right does Britain have to...
None. And so you're talking about laws. What do you mean laws? Why? What commandment are these? People are making this crap up and we'll call it a law.
Mm-hmm.
We're making up we're making BS up and we'll call it a law. And
right.
That's all
that's
the Balfour
like giving
Agreement
away somebody
was.
Else's house. I decided to give away somebody else's
house. So what I'm saying to you, it's all made up. And then you look at what was going on when Herzl, the big pusher of this back in the late 1800s, was from Budapest. It wasn't Budapest yet. It was Pest. And he came up with this whole thing about, you know, we're going to find the promised land. And Palestine wasn't one of them in the beginning, as we know. They were looking places like in Argentina and other places in Africa. So anyway, going back to that, what was going on in Europe at the end of the 19th century? Colonialism.
Yes.
Throughout the Middle East and Africa.
Right. The Berlin Conference of 84, 85, they carved up Africa.
That's what I'm saying. It was a colony. The Italians were in Eritrea, you know, Ethiopia, you know, Libya. It was colonialism.
Yes.
That's all this is.
Mm-hmm.
It began in the late 19th century. All Israel is another colonialism move.
Yes. Yes.
That's all it is.
But there's no justice in that.
No, there's no... Well, the word justice is spelling it wrong. It's J-U-S-T-U-S. Just us.
Just
we're
us,
the
yes.
only people that get fined for violations for not... You went over the yellow line. Your brakes were on. You didn't have your signal light on. You didn't pay all your taxes as Wall Street robs us of every penny they could grab from us. While the banksters destroy the country. While criminals start wars and murder millions. And no heads roll. It's a neo-feudal society. You have two different sets of laws for the political nobility and the economic elite.
Right. You know, but the whole world has seen that. They're wondering about these so-called terrorists that are all over, but nobody thinks about what the world has seen. I remember in the UN, they had voted that Zionism was racism, and then the United States got that rescinded. but the world...
Again, the United States is run by AIPAC in so many ways. We all know that.
Yes.
You know, and then you think about when what happened with, you know, with Truman, when he was the one who was pushing this, too. He had to win the election against Dewey.
Yes, they gave him money.
So, I mean, you know, it's all politics. It's all a bunch of sick people. So anyway, I want to thank you for calling in again, David. We're going to be wrapping up soon.
And, thank you so much for being what you are, the great guy. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
And I want to thank all the listeners, Progressive Radio Network and Trends This Week. And we're saying these things not to inflame, but to inform. And again, the facts are only there. And we're saying this the way I'm saying it, the way I'm saying it, because we're at a critical juncture right now. The war drums are heating up. There's going to be a war in the Middle East that's going to spread beyond the Middle East. Do you know people, I'm up at a little restaurant up in Saugerties up here, just north of Kingston. It was a Wednesday night. They have some nice jazz there. And talking to the bartender, young woman, mid-20s, she's afraid to go out where there are crowds, like concerts, even a movie theater. She's afraid of terrorists. That's how fearful the people have become. Oh, by the way, over here in Colonial Kingston, just last week, Bob Dylan did two concerts here on the Hudson River at the old Brickyards. Very interesting. The Brickyards are beautiful. Oh, what a view. No railroad tracks. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous setting. The reason these areas are rebounding, I mentioned Brickyards. Kingston supplied New York City with brick and flagstone. They had a canal that came through from Pennsylvania. It's the biggest in-water port over here on the Hudson, bringing down iron ore, coal back in the day. And then, you know, then those days died and the city went down. Then it came back up when IBM was here. They used to make their mainframe computers. And then IBM left and the city went down again. Now, of course, there's a big rebound here. And it's very different because it's happening organically. It's not relying on big business or one industry. I'm mentioning this. These are the kind of things we write about in the Trends Journal. Look for the sleeper cities. Look for the little towns that went down when a big business left, or an industry left, or natural resources no longer needed, that are now starting to come back organically. Those are the places we don't give investment advice that we're suggesting people look into. There's reasons for their location, their uniqueness, their beauty. Remember, when the malls suck life out of those cities, who wants to go to the malls anymore? There's a pall on the malls. They're closing, a trend that we had forecast, poof, beginning in 1994. First, it was overbuilt. And then we knew it was going to change, and it has. Overbuilt, overstored. So this is a trend tracking lesson. If you're looking to move, if you're looking to invest, invest in those areas that are growing organically that went down when a big natural resource was no longer needed and started to come back, or when big business left and they're bouncing back. That's the future of America. Because in those little towns, a few hundred thousand people to 30,000, where it's businesses that are going to be unique, high-quality, on-trendpreneurs. That's the future. That's the one to tie into, key into, and to look at. It's very important. You're not going to hear this from anybody else. We're the only ones that are saying this. In all the real estate information that we look at on a daily basis, they're missing the trend. Again, we're looking at Silicon Valley becoming another Rust Belt. As the world goes high tech in so many ways, from China to India, across from Russia down to South America, the mine could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a valley. There's no resource that's needed there. When you start seeing more and more countries develop in the new digital age in different ways, you're going to see a Silicon Valley drag in property values, overbuilt, overcongested. Tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. I'm going to read you a quote. As soon as they feel their cash is safe, virtually everyone with a computer will be accessing online stores, says Gerald Celente, Reuters, December 1996, 21 years ago, when people were just getting into the computer age. I talked about the dot-com boom. Basically from 93 to 2000, it was a whole new world was generating. People were afraid to put their money on credit cards and send it to a place unknown. But we saw the trend happening. And they're saying that retail is dead because of online shopping. That is not true. Only about 13% of retail is online. There's plenty of room for entrepreneurs, for new opportunities, new insights, new profits. Stay on top of the trends and ahead of the news. There's plenty of opportunity out there, but not if you're tuning in to the mainstream media. Trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com for your copy of the Trends Journal if you'd like to subscribe. So thank you very much. I very much appreciate you being on, listening, being on Progressive Radio Network, and honored to be a friend of Gary Knowles and to support everything that he does, and he supports what we do. So it's a very much of an honor to be with you all. So thank you very much for tuning in. And if you have any questions, you could also contact me at trendsresearch.com. Thank you. C'è la luna, mezza mare, mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia.